Blog Talk Radio.
I walked through the damp, foggy streets, my mind swirling. So much content, so many podcasts. How do I find the best? Then it hit me, like a big blue neon sign flashing through the mist. Blueberry. All I had to do was drop the E's and go to blueberry.com. Blueberry. The digital media interface for consumers, creators, and advertisers.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
You are listening to The Liberal Grouch.
People all going somewhere, all with their own thoughts, their own ideas, all with their own personality.
Ever since I was a child, all I've ever wanted to be was a journalist. To write stories. To be on the radio. To be an observer of the human condition. Throughout my professional life, in radio, newspapers, and as a writer with the federal government, I've been true to the journalistic ethic of telling the truth. Of being accurate, of trying to tell both sides of the story. But I've learned there are people who don't want their story told. In fact, they will do anything to keep you from telling their story. Individually, they are weak, small people who hide in the dark. But when they form a pack, they become dangerous. Not just to the individual trying to tell their story, but to the very concept of a free press. They want their side of the story told, not the full story. And when a strong, honest, progressive voice comes along, one who captures the ears of honest people, it frightens them. It makes them crazy.
Pull the string. Dance to that which one is created for.
They will do whatever they have to do by whatever means necessary to silence that voice, either through legal means or other means. The only thing necessary for evil to succeed is if good people do nothing. I choose to do something. I will stand in the face of this wolf pack of right-wing lunatics until I am either silenced by legal means or until they kill me. They will need to find either some way to throw me in jail for telling the truth, or else there will be blood on the microphone.
And that's not very good for the microphone. You've been very patient, I must say, if you're tuned in. I'm live at the moment, but I've been working on pre-producing a show for today. And it is in the final wrapping up stage right now. It's doing all that processing, what a show's got to do before, you know, it's ready to roll. So as soon as it is ready, I will load it up. Yeah, it looks like I'll be ready now. I'll load it up into the Blog Talk Radio Matrix, and I shall play it for you. But, while we're waiting for that, entertain ourselves with this.
Sandy Hook didn't stop me. Gabrielle Giffords didn't stop me. What makes you think anything can stop me?
I can't seem to face up to the facts.
I cannot tolerate the gaze of blacks. I can't sleep cause my head is on fire. I'm dressed up in my combat attire. Right wing killer, what's to say? Far better. Run away. Right wing killer, black or gay, far better. Run away. Oh,
ay, 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 ay.
It's useless. Don't you understand that yet?
They rape our wives and daughters. We just want our country back. You're talking a lot, but you're not doing anything. They're turning our children gay, and that means war. You'll know my name. I'll be on the news. Right-wing killer, and I don't play. Far better. Run away. Right-wing killer, there's hell to pay. Far better. Run away. Oh,
ay, 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 ay.
It is not your fault that you're black. You made the choice to be gay. This is what God chose me for, to ignite his racial war. Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. Cleanse with pain, stoke the fire. Cable coverage is what I desire. Right wing killer, have my way. Far better. Run away. Oh, right wing killer, here to stay. Far better. Run away.
Quoting Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, I honestly have nothing other than just sadness, once again, that we have to peer into the abyss of the depraved violence that we do to each other, and the nexus of a just gaping racial wound that will not heal, yet we pretend does not exist. I'm confident, though, that by acknowledging it, that by staring into that, seeing it for what it is, we still won't do jack shit. Yeah? That's us.
This is the W.J.J. Hoggy Story. What is W.J.J. Hoggy III? Why is W.J.J. Hoggy III here for Liberal Grouch Productions with answers to these questions is our own Hector DePeoples.
We at the Liberal Grouch have done our best to research the history of W.J.J. Hoggy III of Westminster, Maryland. we find that there are more twists and turns and holes in the story in the lineage of W.J.J. Hoggy III than one will find in the diseased intestines of a person with Crohn's disease. These records are based on historical documents which have since been sealed and destroyed by the state of Tennessee, but not before we got photocopies. In order for there to be a W.J.J. Hoggy III, there must have been a W.J.J. Hoggy I. And there was. Born in 1887 on a farm outside of Franklin, Tennessee, nobody is quite sure who W.J.J. Hoggy I's parents actually were. The young infant was found in a barnyard between the rear hooves of a large horse, covered in horse manure and trying desperately to nurse from the horse. Unfortunately, the horse was not a mare, but was a steed stallion, a fact that, if mentioned in the presence of W.J.J. Hoggy I, would cause him to erupt in extreme rage, with obscenities and bullets flying. The newspapers of the time had quite some fun with the discovery of the manure-covered child, calling him the miracle horse baby of Franklin. As Hoggy had no one to raise him because no one, seeing photographs of his birth conditions, wanted to touch him physically, he was sent to the Tennessee Home for Wayward Unloved Children in nearby Cooksville, Tennessee. That school was burned to the ground in 1893 under suspicious circumstances in which the evidence points to young Mr. Hoggy. Several students and teachers were killed in their sleep by the smoke and flames of the fire. In fact, there was only one child left uninjured by the conflagration, and that was young Mr. Hoggy. A local newspaper reporter at the time, encountered Mr. Hoggy and asked him how he managed to survive the conflagration that took so many lives on that dark, dreadful day in Cooksville. Mr. Hoggy replied, "None of your beeswax," and kicked the reporter squarely in the testicles. Moving forward to 1915, 15 years into a new century, W.J.J. Hoggy I kidnapped a young debutante from a Nashville cotillion and declared her his wife, where they lived together in a filthy log cabin several miles south of Smyrna, Tennessee. On September 18th, 1917, after finally achieving the ability to impregnate his captured wife, W.J.J. Hoggy finally produced his first and only offspring, which he named W.J.J. Hoggy II. He promptly shot his wife, as she was no further use to him. This, of course, at the time, was considered a capital crime. in the state of Tennessee. And Hoggy the First went to the gallows on April 3rd, 1920. Through much research, we were able to discover that a Edison recording of Hoggy the First's final words as he stood on the scaffold just before they put the hood over his head still exists. And thus, a worthless life came to an end. That was it for W.J.J. Hoggy the First. But what about W.J.J. Hoggy the Second? Being not quite 3 years old, the opportunities for a fatherless waif like W.J.J. Hoggy the Second were limited. He was sent to the Nashville Home for Children with limited opportunity, no hope, and no outlook for success, where he proved the title of the school absolutely correct. Released from the school when he was 18 years old, young Hoggy the Second became a traveling snake oil salesman. Unlike the other snake oil salesmen of the early 20th century, he actually used real snakes, which he would crush and pour their entrails into a bottle and refer to them as snake oil. More than one person died as a result of ingesting W.J.J. Hoggy the Second's product, and he spent a large portion of his miserable life behind bars at the Tennessee State Penitentiary, where he did a hard time on the rock pile. And by that, we don't mean breaking up the rocks with hammers. We mean that he was sexually abused in the late night hours while the guards were busy doing other things on top of the rock pile by other inmates. It was a terrible fate, and it shaped Hoggy the Second's mentality. On December 8th, 1941, the day after the infamous attack on Pearl Harbor by forces of the Japanese Imperial Navy, there was a general amnesty in Tennessee prisons for eligible young men, provided that upon release from prison, they immediately enlist in the armed forces of the United States to fight the Axis enemy. Hoggy the Second signed such a pledge, but immediately went into hiding. Having inherited his father's gift for deception and connivery, as well as smooth talking, young Mr. Hoggy, 24 years old at the outbreak of the war, founded a radio station in Clarksville, Tennessee, where he was not only the owner, but the morning radio show host. At first, we thought that perhaps he got his license to broadcast through fraudulent means. After all, he was an escaped felon. But records show that the Federal Communications Commission issued a broadcast license to young Hoggy the Second in 1944. His station, with call letters that, when spelled out and read aloud, in our research for this program, we had difficulty getting anyone in a position of authority in Clarksville, Tennessee, to admit that there ever was such a radio station. However, after the proper palms were greased, we did manage to find one records custodian who had secreted away a wire recording made of one such transmission in 1948.
And you're listening to Hoggy in the Morning here on KUNT in Clarksville, Tennessee. Yes, and I'm a happy man today. Our little boy, Hoggy the Third, slept through the night for the first time. We couldn't be more happy.
As congenial and friendly as Hoggy the Second sounded on the air, he was just the opposite in personality and temperance at home. Being an early riser, he needed to go to bed early in the evening, and he insisted that his entire family, his wife Prudence, and his son, W.J.J. Hoggy the Third, retire for the evening with him. He was a brutal father, whipping his son with his belt on a nearly daily basis, calling him a poor excuse for a third in such a proud line of Hoggies. It seemed young Mr. Hoggy the Third had no interest in much of anything except in being a broadcaster. The elder Hoggy tried to explain to his son that owning a radio station was merely a scam and that he was cheating the advertisers for every dollar he could get from them, but still young Mr. Hoggy the Third wanted to be in radio. On a tragic day,
I'll tell you what, I'm going to cease broadcasting for the moment. Check back in at about 1:45, and I should have that other program up and ready to go. Right now, for some reason, it's only allowing me to upload 4 minutes and 43 seconds of it. So that's Blog Talk Radio for you. I'll be back at 1:45.